In the new thriller Man on Fire, Denzel Washington plays a drunken government assassin who tries to restart his life as a bodyguard for the daughter of a wealthy family in Mexico City. But the relationship is short-lived, and Washington ends up torturing and killing everyone who crossed him. Yes, it's another revenge movie, and film critic David Edelstein has had just about enough.
Once again, payback dominates the box office. Last week it was Kill Bill Volume 2 and The Punisher. Now comes Man on Fire with Denzel Washington, which makes The Punisher look like Shakespeare. I've always been of two minds about revenge movies. As a critic, I get downright moralistic about the ways they make their audiences drool for blood. Yet I admit, I keep going to them. I'm the perfect vengeance maven. I'm angry at injustice, enraged by my own powerlessness, and addicted to scenarios of injury followed by holy retribution. It worries me how in touch I am with the Punisher in myself, wanting the child molester to take a shiv in prison, or at the other extreme, to beat up the guy who cuts in front of me in line. It's a mad, 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 mad world, and this is a genre that caters to that madness, and even, I feel certain, reinforces it. It's important to say that humans have always gone for tit-for-tat scenarios. One of our earliest epics, The Odyssey, closes with bloody retribution, and that's for people merely lusting after the hero's wife when they thought he was dead, not for doing anything. The Jacobeans made a specialty of celebrating bloodthirsty Machiavellian revengers, but I think even they would blanch at the hero of Man on Fire. Denzel Washington is Creasy, the alcoholic bodyguard of a little girl in Mexico, played by blonde moppet Dakota Fanning, who's kidnapped, held for ransom, then, well, some bad things happen. The Bible-toting Creasy doesn't turn the other cheek. He goes on a punishment spree that's sexed up by the director, Tony Scott, who's like an old white guy trying to be a rap master, zooming in and out, mixing film stocks, superimposing shrieking victims, making even the subtitles dance. In the early 60s, it was shocking when 007 had License to Kill. Now the hero has license to torture first. He cuts off fingers one by one. He shreds ears. He gets his info and pulls the trigger anyway. His friend, played by Christopher Walken, tells a sympathetic inspector, he'll deliver more justice in a weekend than 10 years of your courts and tribunals. Creasy's art is death. He's about to paint his masterpiece. And then Creasy, the impassive avenging angel, has a banner vigilante line. Forgiveness is between them and God. It's my job to arrange the meeting. In this scene, he stuffs a time bomb up the rectum of a corrupt police official who expects his confession to get him off.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for the girl. It was just business. You know, I'm a professional.
That's what everybody keeps saying. I'm just a professional. Everybody keeps saying that to me. I'm just a professional. I'm just a professional. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing that. You understand me?
What are you going to do now?
What am I going to do? I'm going to leave. I got to go.
Go?
Yeah.
Come on. What about me?
What about you? You got 40 seconds.
Come on.
45.
Last wish, please.
Last wish. I wish you had more time.
Hey.
Kaboom! I'd love to keep summarizing the horrors of Man on Fire, but it would be more helpful to mention movies, all of them on DVD, that give you the kick of a vengeance scenario, and something else, a view of the Avenger that's tragic, or at least double-edged. In John Ford's The Searchers, the motives of its obsessed protagonist, played by John Wayne, become more and more questionable, until he's on the verge of executing the niece whom he's rescued from the Comanches. And then he becomes the movie's racist villain. Taxi Driver was inspired by The Searchers, and also the life of would-be George Wallace assassin Arthur Bremer, and that even more thoroughly blurs the line between heroism and sociopathic obsession. In The Limey, a father's similarly ferocious hunt for the killer of his daughter ends when he learns that the ultimate responsibility for her death was his. In The Bedroom, features a climactic act of revenge by the mild, humane protagonist that clearly violates his own nature and effectively ends his life. Then, of course, there's the ultimate conflicted Avenger work, Hamlet, especially the inspired modern take by Michael Almereyda, whom I should mention is a friend. In this version, Ethan Hawke recites To Be or Not to Be while pacing the action aisles of a Blockbuster video store, his irresolution mocked by rows of revenge pictures. Quentin Tarantino has said that A Kill Bill Volume 3 will have as its heroine the grown daughter of Vernita Green, who watched the bride kill her mother at the start of Volume 1 and now wants justice. That's a great idea, because it dramatizes the way that even righteous avengers set in motion blood feuds that victimize innocence and span generations. It's payback that pays you back.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.